Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast, where top football coaches from around the country share their stories, philosophies, concepts, and strategies to help you get better on and off the field. Now, here's your host, Keith Grabowski.
Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. I'm joined today by Mike Pollack, who is our manager of contact system training at USA Football, and we're excited to have him as part of our tip of the spear contact system. And Mike played in the NFL for 7 years with the Colts, Panthers, and Bengals, and we're excited what he brings to the table as far as what he's been able to learn about contact and his role with what we're doing with Scott Peters. So Mike, welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Mike, first of all, let's talk a little bit about, how you got involved with Scott and, you know, what really brought you to dig into, you know, all these techniques and drills and everything we're doing within the contact system.
Scott and I are both from Arizona State. We were both centers. And Scott was the mentor to the center that I learned under, Drew Hodgson. And when I got there, there was a good history of centers going on to the NFL and doing great things. So I knew of Scott going to ASU, and as my last couple of years in, he was with the Cardinals. He'd come around and kind of share his story, and so he was always a guy that I looked up to as a player. And I got into the NFL towards the middle of my career. I had heard Scott had opened up an MMA gym and started this new type of training for football, and when I was with the Panthers in about the middle of my career, he was kind of hounding me. He's like, "Hey, Mike, in the offseason, come train with me, and I was never into like the boxing or MMA type of off-season training, so it felt very strange and foreign to me. So I kind of like, no, I'm okay, man, thanks. But my last couple years with Cincinnati, I got to pick up a couple tips from him, and from there I was kind of hooked into a system. And when I retired from the NFL, after taking some time off and kind of declining a bunch of calls from Scott, I finally said, you know what, I'm going to follow you around and see what this program's about. And it's great. The techniques that we're teaching now are something that I wish I would have learned at a younger age. I didn't get to start playing football until I got to high school. I was a baseball kid growing up. So when I got to high school, I was obviously the bigger guy. And I said, hey, coach, I want to play tight end and defensive end because I felt like I could run for a big guy. And they're like, nope, you're bigger than everybody else here. We're going to put you in the offensive line. And so it taught me kind of the old school method and about using my hands and my face mask to hit on every single play. So through my entire high school career, I was engaging every block with my face. College was the same way. And having a few reported concussions, but more importantly that I know now that I had to hide a lot of the issues that I know now are concussions, but I didn't want to go to a trainer and get pulled out of practice because I felt like I was letting my teammates down. I didn't want to get pulled in the middle of a game because I didn't want us to risk losing that game. So being able to teach contact from such a detailed perspective from either never played football before or the NFL guys we currently do, we have a program in place that we're teaching how to be just as, if not more effective by using the hands and shoulders. And now we're not having as much contact to the face. So had I known this starting my career, who knows how many of those concussions I wouldn't have sustained because I wasn't using my face mask.
And I know, Mike, as we got together in November, right before Thanksgiving, and we shot all these drills in Arizona, you know, there's the details to this that I think are key. And I think a lot of coaches out there have been trying to teach, using the hands. But ultimately, the way they've been teaching it, the arms collapse and the head still gets involved in the block, even though they might not intend that. Talk a little bit, first of all, about, you know, some of the technique in general that's being taught and, you know, how it's just not conducive to removing the head as a tool for contact.
You're right. I think just as players always strive to get better, coaches do the same way. And as far as skill development goes, especially in the era of football we are, where you're hearing all of these headlines and reading these stories about the dangers of using your head for contact, coaches are trying to go to more of a hand system. but they're relying on kind of the pushing mentality that we get from our bench press in the weight room, right? So our elbows are to the sides. So when we try to employ that same technique on the field, when we have a body of mass coming at us and we either need to stop it or we need to move it, there's going to be some energy transference if my elbows are outside the frame and almost acting like a shock absorber. So I may be using my hands to stop the blow or initiate contact, but there's nothing to stop that force. So my elbows continue to go past my body and my head ends up being included in the block or getting off of a block or a tackle. I think a big part of the way we teach things is we give the coaches a why to everything we're telling them. Coaching is so cyclical to begin with that coaches oftentimes are teaching things that were taught to them or saying things that they heard, right? Hat in hands is a big kind of buzzword we say that offensive linemen are kind of ingrained, and it brings back kind of PTSD thoughts in my head. But trying to get away from that, and when I was in high school or college, I said, hey, coach, why am I doing this? Often the answer was, oh, because that's the way I said, or I said so, or like the old dad adage, like, because I said so, son. But now we're giving coaches, here's why your body works this way, right? We've worked with a bunch of experts in various fields and learning the biomechanics of how, if I can get my elbow to turn down and my thumb goes out on a 45, what that does, how much more stability, strength, and power I have, and the amount of energy that I have to exert to create that power is much less than the previous ways that we were taught contact.
Mike, I think the interesting thing in what Scott has done is he's really broken down the skill of contact and how it applies to every position. And he's found those fundamental biomechanical positions and techniques and fundamentals that it really doesn't matter what the scheme you're running is, that the body at the point of contact, when you're going to engage in a block or you're going to defeat a block, that there's actually some kind of universality to it, that this applies to, you know, that receiver, for example, in space taking on a cornerback, or it applies to a linebacker in space, you know, trying to defeat a block. It applies to guys on the line of scrimmage, again, trying to engage in a block or defeat a block. And I think that's the very compelling part of this, is that we can teach our players every position these skills within a system.
Absolutely. And you think about how kind of the current way we teach the football development, obviously there's lots of restrictions in place that limit contact in the off season and during the season. But a lot of the athletic drills that we teach football players are your basic like agility drills. And we're assuming that those are our foundations for contact, when in fact they're not. And by the time you get to the practice, the actual football practice, you focus more time on the individual positions. So in the off season, you do a lot of strength and conditioning, and your agility work is trying to build that foundation. But then you get into your football specific skills, and it splits from there. Well, this program, what it's great, it gives everybody the foundation for contact. So no matter what position you play, if you're an offensive lineman, receiver, safety, defensive lineman, it doesn't matter. There's a foundation that we're saying that has to be built. And we have a specific set of drills that we can take you from zero to an expert in this category. And we're seeing the success at the youth level. We've seen at the NFL. Some of the NFL guys we've worked with this summer, I was training some offensive linemen out here in Arizona, and Calais Campbell, who was with the Cardinals, now with the Jaguars, came in and he did us a favor and talked to the guys for a little bit. But he was curious about what we were doing because he knew we were practicing football, but it wasn't anything like he had ever seen before. And so I explained to him how when a defensive lineman is trying to create separation off of an offensive lineman, if he is able to turn his thumb out and get that elbow to go down, how much stronger it was. And the look in his face was that, like, the light bulbs going off. Like, why didn't I learn this sooner? And I mean, he's had a tremendous year. I'm not saying I did anything for that, but he has the same look on his face that I had when I learned this system from Scott. It's like, wow, this is so detailed to the fact that I can learn this foundation level of contact and blocking as an offensive lineman in space against a linebacker is theoretically no different than a receiver on a stock block in space, right? There's objective and assignment differences, but the principles of a person running at another person, getting their body in position and correct posture to deliver forceful contact is no different. And on the other side of the ball, it's exactly the same. So Scott Peters has done a tremendous job developing this program that any level can follow. And honestly, like, this has to be a staple for any program that wants to continue on and compete at the highest level.
There's some really interesting things there that you said I want to dig into. Before they do that, I guess maybe we should have done this at the beginning. We call this system the tip of the spear contact system. Talk to our listeners a little bit about where that idea comes from. Why tip of the spear?
So two things. The tip of the spear, we call the spot on our palm, right? On the part of the palm opposite of your thumb, there's a bone in there called the lunate. So when I make contact, that's what I want to make contact at all times. The tip of the spear is like your strongest point of contact. By getting my hand open, my thumb turned out on a 45-degree angle, I'm aligning that lunate bone with my ulna, with my elbow pointing down, creating a very strong structure atomically for my body to be able to sustain and deliver contact. So that is kind of how we use the term, but it was really derived from martial arts and their developmental style of training, right? So you start with a white belt and you add some more skills and you progress further. So our drills and our techniques are broken down into a shape, sharpen, polish model. So our shape, we start with our shape drills where we're teaching this posture. A lot of it's similar, but there's some new, very specific coaching points that we have to kind of re-teach our bodies, right? We talked about the bench press, how that is the most common posture for our arms on football. You see linebackers, anybody who's going to hit somebody, their hands drop wide. So we kind of reteach a more of a posture where our elbows are out in front of our body, our hands are out in front. So that's different. So we have a bunch of drills that teach our body the posture we need for our foundation. And then we move to our sharpen drills, which are a little bit more position specific. Offensive, defensively are going to attack their guys a little bit differently. And then from there, we work to our polish drills, where we get to take all of these drills and kind of put them together in a competitive manner where players can practice these at a high tempo. And one of the things that we kind of preach to players and coaches is when we get to these competitive drills, it's not as important who's the winner, who's the loser, but we're not going to the other end of the spectrum where we're giving everybody participation trophies. We're going to highlight people who do the technique very well, but the focus has to be on the tasks, right? We talk about making sure the players and coaches understand that they're task-oriented versus result-oriented. You don't want your player to hear the play in the huddle, go to the line, and all of a sudden think, oh, I have to win this play. I have to win this play. I have to beat that guy. Well, they're missing the whole sequence of steps that lead up to that. What's my first step going to look like? Where do I put my hands? We're getting kids to understand in these competitive drills, let's focus on more. Am I doing the techniques right? Because that's going to yield more consistency and greater success down the road rather than focusing, oh, I have to win this drill and do whatever it takes to win.
And I know, you know, one of those things that you've talked about here is the ability to do this all season long. And we kind of, to this point, outside, you know, the skill positions, right? We see our guys out running around, throwing the ball around all summer long, but we've kind of relegated that whole idea of contact is taught during the season. I think what you guys have found, it is very much a skill that needs to be honed, like hitting a baseball or throwing a football or shooting a jump shot. And there's the ability to do all that, both you know, without even contacting a person, but also without having gear on, that you guys have put together some drills that allow you to do those things and get ready for the season, really right now, from this time here in January all the way up to August.
Absolutely. And I can't tell you how many coaches playing offensive alignment, being an offensive lineman, have said, oh, the real football doesn't start until we get the pads on. That's when we can practice real football, because that means, oh, we get to actually hit people now. To my knowledge, I believe the helmet and the shoulder pads and all the pads that are on a football player were designed to kind of help soften the blows. They were never like intended as the tool or the method for contact, right? It's not your helmet isn't your weapon out there. So we don't need those on to learn how to hit somebody else. So again, it's above and beyond your traditional agility drills that are, we're focusing, we're teaching, we're training, we're ingraining these techniques into our bodies and doing it as efficient as possible. So there's a lot of, I know skill guys have 7-on-7s during the off season, but linemen, it's really 1-on-1 competitions and like a tug of war or a push the van. Well, I've never pulled a rope or pushed a van during a football game. And the 1-on-1 drills are so result oriented that a lot of times coaches will be working all week on a guy to pass set correctly or put his hand somewhere. And then they get into the 1-on-1 situation and it goes out the window. So with this program, we've broken it down, and the earlier people can start working on it, the better, because it's a true year-round program. There's very few of our drills require any type of padding, because you're training the body, you're training body motions needed for contact.
Absolutely, and you know, that's one thing I was impressed with as we did all these drills. We filmed all these drills up. We didn't have a single helmet even in the facility. All this was done with just shoulder pads to really show the different points where we're going to fit our hands, where we're going to fit into a defender or fit on an offensive player trying to block us. And we were operating these drills at some points at, you know, full speed. That the idea that the helmet, right? The helmet is, you know, Scott and I talk about this all the time, and he relates it to being like an airbag. Yeah, you know, you have it in your car. You really don't want to activate that thing if you don't have to. And whereas, you know, at least when I played, I don't know how it was when you played, you know, it used to be you'd show that helmet and all the scars you had on it, kind of a sign of your toughness and, you know, that you were getting after it. But really, the sign of a superior football player in today's game, with all we know, is a clean helmet at the end of the season.
Absolutely. We used to call those our badges of honor. Like who had the most scratches over the course of the season. We define that as, oh, you had the best season because you were playing the hardest or you were the toughest. But really, those don't transpire to the objective of football, right? For football, we're coming on the field. We want to win a game. You want to improve your skills in practice every single day. You want to get better. But we can do that in a better, efficient manner. A lot of people think, oh, well, if you're not using your helmet and you're teaching your hands, you're teaching a softer version of football. Well, there's NFL teams asking us to come work with them because the people, if any of your listeners know about NFL teams, they spend millions of dollars to try to figure out what is the most efficient way we can do something because they're not messing around up there. There's too much to lose up at that level. And they're bringing us in because they can see how we're expediting the skill process with this program. We're showing that contact can be practiced year round without pads. And that's never really been taught before into this detail.
I know, you know, the other thing you said, I've heard this multiple times now as I've been involved with Scott and been around some other guys, is that the idea that I wish I had this stuff when I played. Where was this stuff when I played? How come I didn't know these things? And you know, in particular, Scott was in Cleveland and, you know, met him while he was working with the Browns, and he had Olin Krutz out there, who's in the Hall of Fame. And I know Anthony Munoz was there too, but, you know, Olin Krutz had echoed that. I've heard you say it. There's other guys who come to you and say those exact things. What really do you think those guys see that is so much different than what they had been taught or what they had been doing as players?
I think it's a combination of being able to practice contact techniques and skills without pads to the level, the degree that we can offer. It's the why. Why does our body work this way? I can't tell you how many times I've heard a coach yell at me, you've got to use your hips better. You've got to use your hips. Well, I thought I understood that as an NFL player. And I now, having gone through and being a part of this program, I can tell you I didn't know what it meant to use your hips. I wasn't utilizing every drop of power in my hips. I could squat a ton, but I was not utilizing that power that I've gained in the weight room. I wasn't using that on the field because I didn't know how to properly use my hips. This program, every Pop Warner kid that we put through this program walks away going, I know how to use my hips. Every coach knows how to say, I know how to teach my players how to use their hips. So it's not that this program is better than A, B, or C program that's out there. This is a whole new level of information that has really never existed to this detail before.
Absolutely, and that's something I've really seen. As coaches, we say it all the time, but, you know, in learning these details from you guys, from you, from Scott, some other guys that I've met, like John Clanton, the idea is there's some details that have been missing from the process. There's some things we've been doing, as little as some foot positioning or hand positioning, that have really prevented us from using our hips and getting our hips involved like we've intended to do and we've intended our players to do. And that's what's exciting about this, you know, with using the hands driven by the hips to create and get that leverage and to win blocks, to defeat blocks, all very exciting stuff that we're able to take it to that level. And I'm excited that you guys are going to be bringing this to us and really kind of launching this. We've launched some of those things. The information is available at usafootball.com, but really getting into that launch and bringing it to our audience at the national conference. So talk a little bit about you know, what we're going to see in some of those on-field demonstrations.
We're going to kind of give a taste of kind of how the program operates. One of the things I think most people will hopefully take away from it is we can teach the best progression of how to do your job exactly right. But we play football. The other team, your opponent, is working hard too. There's going to be some times where he's going to be in a more optimal position than your player is. Well, our program also teaches leverage recovery drills that I've never seen before. If I got into a position on during the course of a game or practice where I didn't necessarily win my first step or I didn't make first contact, coach would just say, hey, do the best you can or chop your feet. But those weren't really good answers to me because I was just kind of, they felt like excuses. Well, now with our leverage recovery drills, we give every single player, no matter how well or bad you start, you should be able to win every single time. Every play, every objective that you have, it doesn't matter if you're getting pushed back. We can tell you how to stop that, redirect that force and energy, and put you back into control. And I think that those are some of the drills that we're going to highlight at the national conference that really are eye-openers for people, and I'm really excited about.
Well, Mike, you know, again, we're excited that you're a part of this. It's great that we're going to be able to bring this to coaches. You know, kind of to this point, a lot of it is, you know, you've seen it at the Cool Clinic. You guys have taught this to the higher level. You've been teaching out there to some youth guys too, but we're really going to be able to bring this to coaches out there and have both a digital offering. We have a clinic offering as well for coaches as well as players, and all really exciting stuff here as we move into 2018 and get started with the tip of the spear contact system.
Yeah, it's great. I'm really excited. Those in-person clinics are going to be semi-customizable, so we can come in and talk to you. We're going to have one of our tip of the spear instructors be able to come on site with you and your staff, your players, and kind of take you through this program, take you through the progression of drills, and kind of ask you, hey, what are some areas that you're focusing on this year? How can we get your team better? And those clinic spots are going to be going fast, so sign up as fast as you can.
Mike, I appreciate your time, and we'll see you at the National Conference in Orlando, January 26th through the 28th.
I'm looking forward to it. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. For more resources, visit the Coach Performance Center at usafootball.com.